Let's just pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
And because Christ has risen, we and Christians throughout the world on this day and every Sunday are able to join together to worship our risen Saviour. If this event had not taken place, if Christ had not been resurrected from the dead, we would have no hope, and our faith in Christ would be useless, and we would probably not be meeting together here today. Scott quoted this verse last Friday, and I think it's important that we hear it again. Paul said it best when he spoke to the church at Corinth, from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 15, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. I hope that's big enough for you. It looked big on my screen. Sorry. Now let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there was no resurrection, there is no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, then everything we have told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. And not only that, we would be guilty of telling you a string of barefaced lies about God. And these affidavits we've passed on to you, verifying that God raised up Christ, are sheer fabrications if there was no resurrection. But we have a hope, and our hope is founded on the historical fact that Jesus was crucified. He died and was buried, but on the third day he rose from the grave. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. According to scholars, for the first time in 11 years, Easter has actually fallen on the date that most people believe Jesus actually rose from the dead. Today's the day. Many believe that he died at 3 p.m. on the 3rd of April, 33 AD. And they've verified it using various means. There's astrological data shows a partial lunar eclipse on the 3rd of April, 33 AD, which fits the biblical description in Acts 2:20 of the moon appearing red. All four Gospels agree Jesus died on a Friday, the day of preparation before the Sabbath. 33 AD is the one of the few dates where the 14th of the Jewish month Nisan aligns with a Friday. The governance of Pontius Pilate also fits with 33 AD. And geologists studying sedimentary layers about 25 miles from Jerusalem found evidence of an earthquake dated between 26 and 36 AD, which also supports a timeline of 33 AD. And you all know the Easter story. You've heard it many times before. Well, this morning we're going to hear it again. And I'm reading to you now from Mark 16, 1 to 8 in the NIV. The next slide, thanks, Mom. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up and they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You were looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is no longer here. See the place where you laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Today I'd like to look at this story through the eyes of those women who came to the tomb, the women from his group of followers who were first to hear the news that Christ was risen. And I'd like to suggest to you that there was probably more than three women there. Luke refers to Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others in chapter 4 of his gospel, but we're given only three names by Mark. So there could possibly have been five or six. Today I've got 7 points for you. Peter tells me that's the right amount of points. Thank you, Jesus. My first point is this. Number one, they arrived with a purpose. These women were coming to the grave because they had unfinished business to take care of. There was a Jewish ritual that must be observed. They bought spices to anoint the body of the one that they loved. They had watched him crucified. The situation had been taken completely out of their hands. The proper anointing had not taken place because it was the Sabbath. And so the whole process of anointing the body had to be delayed. So they arrived that day with a purpose. They had a mission in mind. They had to give him a decent and correct burial according to Jewish law. They had to take care of his body. And so, point number two, they arrived early. I can imagine that they had had some very sleepless nights. They had been witnesses to an horrific event. Those women had seen him tortured and crucified. They had watched him die. Remember, only one of his chosen 12, John, stayed with them. They had watched his body taken down from the cross. They had seen him carried gently into an empty tomb, a borrowed grave unused up until this point. They had seen Joseph of Arimathea take the body and wrap it carefully in linen cloths. And they had seen a large stone rolled in front of the entrance and the soldiers assembled to guard it. In fact, the stone was a topic of conversation as they made their way along the road that Sunday morning. They were overwhelmed with grief. Their hearts were broken by the death of their Lord and Master. They were possibly carrying water and cloths and towels to wash him with. They had gotten up early that morning. Before the sun had risen, they had gotten dressed. They had gathered these spices and oils, tired and grief-stricken. They met together to start the journey. And so, point number three, they arrived expecting. What would you have expected that day if you were in those women's shoes? If you'd been there on Friday and seen all the events that had taken place, what you would have expected when you arrived today would be Jesus, dead and buried. A sealed tomb, a stone still in place. We expect that there will be more grieving. We expect there will be a flood of emotions and memories. That is what we expect in a graveyard. And I'm sure they were steeling themselves for what they were about to encounter, a body 3 days dead. But that's not what happened on this day. Instead, point number four, they arrived in amazement. They had quietly discussed their dilemma along the way. How are we going to move the stone? We know that none of us is strong enough to move it. How are we going to get inside the tomb to anoint the body? Maybe the soldiers will help us. But as they approached the tomb, they could see that something was just not the way they expected it to be. The stone had already been moved. What's happened here? The questions must have raced through their minds. Who has done this? How can this be? What is going on here? A wellspring of emotions, confusion, panic. Yes, the stone had been moved, but not to let Jesus out, but to let the women in, to show the world that the tomb was empty. Because Jesus didn't actually need the stone to be moved in order for him to get out. No wall of stone could hold him in, but the women didn't realise that yet. They arrived to find no stone. They arrived to find no body. Christ was no longer where they had left him. Can you imagine their confusion? Where had they taken their master's body? Point number five, they arrived at a revelation. As they entered the tomb, Scripture tells us they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, a messenger from God, an angel that was sent with a message so powerful, so life-changing, a message of revelation. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
If we look back at Mark 16, 6 and 7, he said to them, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." Let's just hear that last bit one more time. "Just as he told you." The angel was saying to them, he told you it would happen. He told you it was coming. The resurrection is no surprise to God, but it is a revelation for you. He who was dead is now alive. He who was brutally killed is now up and walking around among the living. No grave could hold him. No tomb could seal him in. He is not here. Look at the place where they laid him. Do you see a body? No. Because he is risen just as he told you, just as he said he would. We usually leave a graveyard with pain still in our hearts, don't we? The death of a family member or a friend still hurts when we turn to leave. We don't usually leave graveyards excited and full of joy, but these women did. Because on this day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ had happened. Things had changed. Things were different. And so, point number six, they arrived at a new hope. How many people do you think have been resurrected from the dead in the Bible? Well, you know, Lazarus would come to mind, I imagine, and maybe Jairus' daughter. They were brought back to life. But truthfully, there's only been one who has been resurrected from the dead, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:22 to 26, we read this, and I'm going to read from the Passion. Sorry, Stephen. I know you hate it. "Even as all who are in Adam die, so also all who are in Christ will be made alive. But each one in his proper order, Christ the first fruits, then those who belong to Christ in his presence. Then the final stage of completion comes when he will bring to an end every other rulership, authority, and power, and he will hand over his kingdom to Father God. Until then, he is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. Christ is the first fruits. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was the first and the one and the only resurrection of the dead. He was the first to appear with an imperishable heavenly body. He was raised into glory. He was raised in power. He was raised with a spiritual body. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and he will never, never, never die again. Those who Christ raised from the dead were not resurrected into a new body. They were brought back to life into their old body that would continue to age and perish and ultimately die again. There are people brought back to life throughout the world every day. In emergency rooms, that's not resurrection, that's resuscitation. The people who are given a second chance of life by resurrection or resuscitation will all eventually die again. And that is not what we're talking about with the resurrection of Christ. If you are in Christ, you will eventually be given an imperishable body, a new spiritual body, and you will never, 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 never die again. Hallelujah. So on the first Easter, everything had changed. They had a new revelation, they had a new hope. And my last point, they arrived at a new reason to worship. Scripture tells us that the women were terrified at what they had seen. After all, it's not every day, is it, that you encounter an angel and a friend risen from the grave. But they obeyed what they were told. They went straight back to tell the disciples what they had witnessed. Mark 28:8 tells us, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Hail!' And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and they will see me there.'" And of course, we know that when they arrived bursting with this amazing news, the disciples didn't believe them because they were only women. I'm not saying anything. So they ran to see for themselves. And then Jesus appeared to them many, many times in Galilee, strengthening their belief and their resolve and preparing them for the day of Pentecost when his Holy Spirit would come to dwell in them and empower them to spread the good news. Next slide. John understood what the resurrection meant when he wrote in Revelations 21, verse 4, "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." This single event changed everything on that first resurrection Sunday. Many people had walked with him and talked with him. They had seen his miracles. They had heard his truth. But still, many were uncertain. Was he the great teacher, or was he exactly who he said he was? Was he the way, the truth, and the life? Was he the Messiah? Had they walked and talked with God? Now there was proof positive, and it was time for them to make their choice. I read this story several months ago, and I think it's really worth repeating to you today. A man had a dream. And in the dream, he saw this wide meadow, green and lush, with a fence right down the middle, dividing it into two halves. On one side of the fence was Jesus. On the other side of the fence was Satan. He knew Jesus had died for him. He looked at Jesus and he loved Jesus. And he knew Jesus loved him. He knew Jesus was the Christ, the promised one, the Son of God. But then he looked over the other side of the fence and he knew who Satan was. He was the one to be avoided at all cost. But Satan stood there smiling at him. And the man looked and he asked himself, why do I have to choose? I love Jesus, but I love many of the things that Satan offers too. I have a good life, just as it is. I know what I'll do. I'll sit on the fence. That way I don't have to make a choice. So he sat himself on the fence and suddenly everything went dark. And Satan's face came out of that dark and he grabbed the man's arm and he started to pull him. Wait, cried the man. I didn't choose you. I chose to stay on the fence. Satan pushed his face close to the man and he said, yes, I know. And the fence belongs to me. The resurrection of Jesus changed theology on that first Easter morning. And it changes my theology too. My eternal life is in God's hands. I live with an Easter hope. I live with an Easter promise. I live with an Easter faith. And so do you. Believe in him. Trust him. Rely on him. Put your faith in him. Choose him. You will never regret it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Loving Father, on this Easter Sunday, we just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who conquered death and sin. Fill our hearts with the joy of this resurrection and the hope that comes from knowing him. Help us to live in gratitude, reflecting your love to those around us, becoming messengers of your hope and peace. Strengthen our faith. Know our spirits. Bless our homes and our loved ones, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.